Like any other narrative media, video games have stories they want to tell us. One thing that we noticed quickly on in our research was that there was a gap in the literature considering how games can tell stories. And that's why our thesis began with a question, which was, how can the two components in video games, story and interaction, coexist?
No matter the team size, video game development is always cross-disciplinary. Game designers, artists, programmers, game writers are expected to work together to create these interactive experiences. If you work with games, you may have found it hard to sometimes talk about how to balance the stories you tell in your games versus the interaction possibilities you give gives the players. And in the games you play, you may have seen a clear skew towards one or the other. We believe that it's vital to good game design that that you have a common language that transcends one's own design field, so it's easier to talk to the games, the developers you work with.
And that's why we've made the symbiotic design framework, which provides these teams of cross-disciplinary designers with a concise and tangible vocabulary for how to scale these two components in video games.
So before we go into how we use the idea of symbiosis in our framework, we are going to go over our core terminology.
Our first parameter is instances, and by this we refer to how video games are segmented. We're saying that video games are segmented in instances like movies are in scenes. By interaction, we refer to what players are intended to do. And by narration, finally, we refer to what the intended story of that instance is.
And the last thing we have is our symbiotic correlations. And this is where we use the terminology from biology. What we propose is to combine interaction and narration into one and see how they relate to one another. There's a lot of different symbiotic correlations, but we are going to use three of them today, which are the most common ones. Symbiosis in biology, as you may know, describe how two species live together and what they gain or what they lose from that relationship. The first one you may know, mutualism. This is a relationship that where both of the species involved in the relationship benefit from their mutual relationship. We have commensalism, where one of the two species benefit while the other remains unaffected. And we have parasitism, where one benefits at the detriment of the other. So how do we combine this with games? And how do we arrive at a symbiotic correlation to one of our instances from a game we look at or design? So we have an instance, and in that instance, there's some form of interaction, and there's a form of narration. We compare this to everything that went before, which we refer to as the accumulation. And out of this comparison, we arrive at a symbiotic correlation, which can be one of the three that we showed you or one of the many others that exist.
But as you know, abstract theory is often not as understandable unless you have concrete examples. So here are some from a very critically acclaimed and hugely influential title called The Last of Us. We're going to show you three different instance types from this game. Mutualism, first of all. There it is. Because this game contains all of the correlation types that we've just introduced you to. Mutualism in areas where you're meant to interact in ways that have a consequential outcome to the game, where important story is relayed as well. Commensalism in small arenas where you're meant to overcome human or zombie enemies. But there aren't any story. And finally, parasitism, which is a very common type of instance in these games. It's very movie-like, this instance type, because there aren't any interactions at all, but you're told some important story. This is often referred to as a cutscene. And just to show you how intuitive we believe this framework is, we have a picture here. Another hugely influential title called Red Dead Redemption 2. Many of you might have at least heard of it. This instance doesn't have any interactions at all, but there's plenty of story, important story, being told through the dialogue of these important characters. So we didn't expect an audience, but since there is one, would you say that this instance is mutualistic, commensalistic or parasitic? Any guesses?
Parasitism.
Yeah, there you go. Well done.
Yeah, so a very important thing for us working on our master thesis and our framework was to make it as practical as possible to use in a design setting. So we made a game as a part of our master thesis called Inkslinger. And the idea was here to explore how we can use the framework in the development of a game. An Inkslinger is a game about you play as an Inkslinger, which is a professional letter writer who writes letters to the different inhabitants of our fictional world, while the player relives this tragic past of the Inkslinger. And I'm going to go through our two main instances from our game and talk a little bit about how which symbiotic correlations that we have used. So the first type of instance we have in our game is the work instances. And this is where the player interacts with the game and meets these different characters. And it's also here where we experiment with the different correlations. So we have mutualism, commensalism, and parasitism, which we showed you earlier. But we also used a fourth type, neutralism, in which neither of the two parameters gain from their relationship. We also have our dream instances, which is where most of the core story is told. And these instances are purely parasitic, meaning that the player doesn't do anything other than read the story that there's being written.
Yeah, so another very important thing for us was to make a symbiotic design more modular. So we spent a lot of time considering how symbiotic design could be made to scale, because your specific studio might not find interaction and narration the best phrasing for how your games are constructed. And that's why we've looked at how you could also formulate this pairing.
Yeah, for example, if you work with serious games, you might find that argument and gameplay might be the two most interesting parameters to talk about and make symbiotic correlations out of. A team working with role-playing games might find tension and choices to be the most interesting. And lastly, people working with art games might find provocation and agency to be interesting.
An example of this final symbiosis way of symbiotically combining two parameters could be Gonzalo Frasca's well-known provocative simulation, September the 12th, in which the provocation and the agency both gain from each recurring instance of that simulation. So in summation, why does symbiotic design matter? Well, first of all, it just helps designers identify what their intentions are going to be or should be or intended to be for a specific moment. It could either be used as a conceptualization tool for the brainstorm, or you could use it throughout a process of development. We've shown you mostly three types of correlation types today, but we've identified a total of nine, and each of these have different purposes. But more than anything, this framework just makes it more tangible to have a very difficult discussion in a very difficult field where a ton of different disciplines come together.
Yeah, thank you. That was it from us. You're welcome to get in touch if you're interested in learning more or checking out our report.
Yeah.
Thank you.